from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Covered California has taken the national stage with its release of the health plans it will offer as Obamacare rolls towards its grand opening in 2014. California isn't the first state to unveil its plans, but we do have the largest uninsured population in the country. The California Report's health reporter, Mina Kim, has more.
Among the 13 insurers selected for Covered California were Anthem Blue Cross, Kaiser Permanente, and smaller regional plans like LA Care Health Plan and Alameda Alliance for Health. State insurance regulators are now reviewing the proposed rates, which are expected to average about $300 a month for a middle-of-the-road plan. For those who qualify for federal subsidies, it could be significantly less. Covered California's executive director, Peter Lee, calls the proposed rates a home run for consumers.
We have affordable rates. We have better coverage and real choice for consumers across the entire state.
California Association of Health Plans Vice President Charles Bakke says the rates clearly show that insurers are committed to making the federal health law work here.
And I think plans couldn't have done this without providers willing to join us in trying to make the ACA a success.
But truth be told, for some people, insurance on Covered California will be more expensive than what they're paying now for an individual plan. That's because the ACA, or Affordable Care Act, requires insurers to cover more things, like maternity care and prescription drugs.
Yes, there are products today that are cheaper, but many of those products offer very little of value or of coverage.
That's Anthony Wright of the consumer rights group Health Access. Still, Wright says the rates announced yesterday haven't completely erased his fears that young, healthy people could opt out of the market. A penalty of $95 or a few hundred dollars, depending on income, is far less than a $300 a month premium.
There is more we can and should do. These rates are based on a certain assumption of enrollment. We should seek to meet and exceed those goals so that we can further bring down the cost of care.
Outreach campaigns are being planned for this summer to bring the estimated 5 million Californians who lack employer coverage or earn too much to qualify for Medi-Cal onto the exchange in October. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
Look up plans and premiums in your area. You'll find a link to State of Health on our website, californiareport.org. Up until recently, climate change didn't appear to be a top priority for Governor Jerry Brown, so environmentalists could be forgiven for raising a few eyebrows at what looked like a campaign stop yesterday at the annual conference Sustainable Silicon Valley put on at NASA Ames Research Center in Mountain View. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow tells us it was a campaign stop for a particular provision in the governor's latest budget.
Governor Brown has been spending a lot of time lately talking about climate change and carbon buildup in the atmosphere.
Climate change is very real. We just passed 400 parts per million May 8th. It's serious stuff.
That was at the unveiling of his revised budget. Yesterday, he joined scientists in a call for climate action. The centerpiece of that action? California's new cap and trade program. Its revenue is supposed to go toward programs aimed at reducing greenhouse gases and improving the air. Some is earmarked for poorer, heavily polluted communities. The permit auctions have already generated more than $250 million. But the Brown administration says the state needs more time to design and develop these efforts. So Brown proposes taking all of this year's revenue and lending it to the general fund, which pays for broader government spending. When Mary Rose Turek heard that, she was
shocked and upset.
Turek is state organizing director for the Asian Pacific Environmental Network.
AB 32 has been in the books for 7 years now. Of course, there are programs that are ready.
The group is one of several that has been meeting with the state to put together a plan on how to spend the cap and trade revenue. The Greenlining Institute, another environmental justice group, was also in those meetings. Legal counsel Ryan Young lists some of the suggestions discussed.
Low-income solar programs, increased access to transit, affordable transit-oriented development, and as well as community greening like urban forestry.
Those suggestions are all listed in the state's new cap-and-trade investment plan. But Air Resources Board spokesman Dave Cleghorn says the plan could be better.
You know, it's a pot of money, so there are a lot of people who want a piece of it. We want to make sure that that money goes where it will have the biggest impact.
By lending the cap-and-trade money to the general fund, the state would still be complying with requirements for how to spend it, since in theory the money would go toward those efforts once it's repaid. Jason Cisney of the Legislative Analyst's Office says the state lends money from one fund to another all the time. But usually the government is borrowing from special funds that are running a surplus. The loan doesn't interfere with the fund's main goal.
This is unusual in that the cap and trade auction revenues are a new source, and essentially the governor's plan, as I understand it, is to borrow essentially all of those monies for at least the next year.
The LAO warns that delaying the environmental spending might interfere with the goal of reducing greenhouse gases to 1990 levels by 2020. Dave Cleghorn of the Air Resources Board insists that won't be a problem.
The goal here is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and we will do that.
But in California's plan, the cap and trade system only accounts for about 20% of those reductions. The ground has shifted since Brown announced his budget last week. The LAO says the governor's tax estimates are too low and that the state will take in about $3 billion more dollars than he's estimating. Environmental groups argue that extra revenue takes away Brown's justification for delaying the cap and trade spending. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
If a magnitude 5.7 earthquake strikes between two massive parks 2 hours' drive northeast of Chico, does anyone feel it? Scott Detrow felt it in Sacramento at 8:47 p.m. last night. The epicenter, the southern tip of Lake Almanor, which sits between Lassen Volcanic National Park and Plumas Eureka State Park. And finally, Heal the Bay's annual report card on the water quality at California beaches gives the all clear for summer fun at the vast majority of them. 93% of nearly 450 beaches monitored got an A or a B grade. The top three beach bummers, according to the Santa Monica nonprofit, Avalon Harbor Beach on Catalina Island, Cowell Beach at the Wharf in Santa Cruz County, and Poche Beach in Orange County. And that's the California Report for Friday, May 24th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our team includes Danny Bringer, Howard Gelman, Seal Muller, Paul Lancour, Vinnie Tong, Victoria Malione, Dan Brecky, Tyke Hendricks, Erica Kelly, Nina Thorson, Kat Snow, and Polly Stryker. Our interns are Gina Shalaba and Guy Maserati. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children, and URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com.